Highway 13 follows another branch of our river, but now it goes upstream past old sawmill towns and sleepy scenery. Sometimes when you switch from a federal to a state highway, it seems like you drop back like this in time. Pretty mountains, pretty river, bumpy but pleasant tar road, old buildings, old people on a front porch. Strange how old, obsolete buildings and plants and mills, the technology of 50 and 100 years ago, always seem to look so much better than the new stuff. Weeds and grass and wildflowers grow where the concrete is cracked and broken. Neat, squared, upright lines acquire a random sag. The uniform masses of the unbroken color of fresh paint modify to a mottled, weathered softness. Nature has a non-Euclidean geometry of her own that seems to soften the deliberate objectivity of these buildings with a kind of random spontaneity that architects would do well to study. Soon we leave the river and the old sleepy buildings and now climb to some sort of a dry, meadowy plateau. The road rolls and bumps and rocks so much I have to keep the speed down to 50. There are some bad chuck holes in the asphalt, and I watch carefully for more. We're really accustomed to making mileage. Stretches that would have seemed long back in the Dakotas now seem short and easy. Being on the machine seems more natural than being off it. We're nowhere that I'm familiar with, in country that I've never seen before, yet I don't feel a stranger in it. At the top of the plateau at Grangeville, Idaho, we step from the blasting heat into an air-conditioned restaurant. Deep cool inside. While we wait for chocolate malteds, I notice a high schooler sitting at the counter exchanging looks with the girl next to him. She's gorgeous, and I'm not the only other one who notices it. The girl behind the counter waiting on them is also watching, with an anger she thinks no one else sees. Some kind of triangle. We keep passing unseen through little moments of other people's lives. Back in the heat again, and not far from Grangeville, we see that the dry plateau that looked almost like prairie when we were out on it suddenly breaks away into an enormous canyon. I see our road will go down and down through what must be 100 hairpin turns into a desert of broken land and crags. I tap Chris's knee and point, and as we round a turn, where we see it all, I hear him holler, "Wow!" At the brink, I shift down to third, then close the throttle. The engine drags, backfiring a little, and down we go. By the time our cycle has reached the bottom of wherever it is we have dropped thousands of feet. I look back over my shoulder and see ant-like cars way back at the top. Now we must head forward across this baking desert to wherever the road leads.